because we are backloading today. I've got Iowa State football coach Matt Campbell in hour number three. Green Bay Packers safety Morgan Burnett in hour number three. Second hour is wide open, and right now we are joined by a reporter who covers the NFL for the Los Angeles Times and Tribune Media. Sam Farmer is my guest. Sam, good morning. What's up? How are you?
How you doing, buddy?
Good, good. Sam, how about you? How are things?
Things are good. Things are good. Just sort of adjusting to two teams in L.A. and a little different season for me this year.
I hear you. Can't wait to get to that. But before I do, let me just first ask you about, well, a quick question about former Miami Dolphins offensive line coach Chris Forster. Sam, he resigned this morning after that video of him snorting a white powder surfaced online. Sam, you've been around this game a long, long time. Have you ever seen a story quite like this?
No, that was bizarre. That was, I watched the video last night. I just couldn't believe it. It was like a parody. And it's one thing after another for the league right now. And, you know, that's really embarrassing. And so obviously not surprising that he resigned, but alarming to watch that video.
It was. That was jarring. That was very strange, very bizarre.
Yeah.
And I would agree with you. I've never seen anything like that. All right, now you got two teams here in Los Angeles, so let me go there right now. The Rams nearly pulled off that win over Seattle yesterday, and you made the point that it's the first meaningful game in Los Angeles in more than 20 years. Lay that out for me. What made yesterday so significant?
Well, you know, you look at the sort of ceremonial games that they had. Seahawks, the Seahawks game last year in week two, Pete Carroll came back and stuff. It was for the theatrics and the ceremony of it, it was a big game, but really it didn't mean anything that early in the season, or didn't have the import of this game, where the Rams had gotten some traction. They were 3-1. Now, they were 3-1 last year, but it was much different, 3-1. We knew the bottom was going to – that was a dead-end street. We knew the bottom was going to fall out on that season. But this is a team that's leading the league in scoring. It's completely revamped its offense, and Goff looks good. And, you know, it's for really sort of a command of the driver's seat in the NFC West when it really looks like sort of a two-team race right now with San Francisco and Arizona falling off. And this was a real sort of statement game for the Rams. And they did almost come back. It was dramatic at the end. But that whole second half, you know, guys were in Goff's face and you could kind of see that the Seahawks still control this division, and the Rams have a way to go. They're much improved, and it could get interesting as the season goes on, but for now, it still belongs to Seattle.
Maybe so, but the fact that they played a significant game this early this season, much less at any point in this season, really says something. Now, they have been good, Sam, this season, and when the Rams are good, that means we get to hear more of that legendary fight song, Ram It. Is there anything better than that track, Sam? Sam, pick him up. Thank you, Alvy. Ram it. Ram it. Hey, you know me. I'll do anything I can to play that song. Anything I can to play that song. Hey, Sam, sorry about that. I don't know what happened, but you tell me. Is there anything more legendary than that track?
Oh, no, it's classic. And, I mean, obviously the dance, too, is killer. In fact, Jackie Slater and Vince Ferragamo sit down for me to my left in the press box for a lot of games. And I always go down and check on Jackie while that's playing just to make sure that he's paying attention and he's watching that. In fact, at one time, I went down there, and he had busted out his phone, and he was videotaping it from the press box, playing on the scoreboard. And he said, "It's embarrassing, but I got to do this."
No, it's awesome. There's nothing embarrassing about that. It's awesome. It was awesome then, and it's better right now. Sam Farmer joining us. All right, Sam, you mentioned the second team. The Chargers got their first win of the season on the road against the Giants. I mean, where to start? What do you make of their first season in Los Angeles and how it's gone on the field?
Oh, I mean, it's been terrible on the field, but following the script a little bit. We've seen so many years now, the Chargers have been close at the end. Phillip Rivers keeps them close, and they've lost a lot of close games. Yesterday's game was pretty ugly, and I think the Giants lost four receivers, including Odell Beckham. I mean, that was a terrible day for them. That's one of the big surprises in the league right now is how poorly the Giants have done. But in terms of on the field, obviously close losses for the Chargers. I mean, you look at that Denver. I was at that Denver game, the opener. They really should have won that. I mean, Kuhn made the kick, and the Broncos called the timeout just in time and to icing, and then the second one gets deflected. So they came so close. There was a Miami game when Kuhn misses that kick. Chargers even thought they won that game. They fired off the cannon
right
after Kuhn missed the kick. So they've had these close games. They've lost them. But the big story for me with the Chargers is just sort of the reaction off the field and the reaction in L.A. And it's been, you know, kind of a yawn from L.A. Sort of the worst thing, you know, the doomsday scenario for a team coming in is getting no attention. And to a large degree, you know, that's been the case for the Chargers. They've got an uphill climb, and so far they haven't moved the needle in L.A. yet.
We're talking to Sam Farmer for a few more moments. Sam, would winning fix all of that, or would they still be having the same problems building a fan base, even if they were 4-1 instead of 1-4?
Well, I mean, they'd be much better off, obviously, at 4-1, but I still think there are some baked-in problems to this. And, you know, sort of piercing that L.A. market, and they came into a situation where they were uninvited. You know, nobody asked them to come and fight for L.A. And you know, it's hard enough in L.A. with one team, you know, for one team to sort of captivate the attention of L.A., and so for a second team, it sort of floods the engine in L.A. And the NFL, you know, now you look at it and you say, why did the league look at this as a two-team market? The only reason the league looked at this L.A. as a two-team market for years is because it would take two teams to finance the stadium. You'd have to have that many games, sell that many PSLs, et cetera. Stan Kroenke comes in. And he can bankroll the stadium himself, which he's doing, and it takes away that need for L.A. to be a two-team market. I mean, this is a market that three teams left. It's not a turnkey market. It's hard to get attention here. And particularly, you've missed a whole generation. A whole generation's gone by without the NFL, and now you're trying to re-engage them. Re-engage them in an era when TV is better. This is the golden age of broadcasting in the NFL. And you got this whole generation that's got this shrinking attention span where they want to see the red zone channel and they want to have fantasy teams. And going to a game is almost secondary. You want to sit at home and watch on three screens. And so it's a real tough sell for the NFL. And getting back to that Miami tape, stuff like that didn't help. You know, it's just going to be a real slog, I think, for both teams.
Yeah, I think Sammy's are all incredible points, and not only that, but you don't want to pay $50 for parking or more. You don't want to wait in long lines to go to the bathroom or get concessions. You want to sit in your house with your perfect HD, with your perfect climate control, and not wait for anything. So finally, all that said, what do you think the Spanos family thinks about how this first season's gone?
Oh, they've got to be really wringing their hands. This has gone sideways very quickly. And, you know, you look and you say, look, we're having a hard time selling out the stadium. It's 27,000 feet stadium. More than half or at least half of the people there are rooting for the other team. We're getting booed going out on the field. This is not what we expected when we went to the nation's second largest market and left the San Diego market that, aside from the stadium issue, and that's a big one, the good, devoted, loyal market when you're putting a good product on the field. And the league looks at it that way. The league likes San Diego as a market. And, you know, maybe a team will wind up there again. But so far, it's been a disaster in L.A.
Sam Farmer covers the NFL for the LA Times and Tribune Media, all over the Rams and the Chargers both, and that rather unfortunate video that dropped online last night. Sam, great to have you back. Thank you very much. Talk soon.
Great talking to you, Romy.
You too, Sam. Be good. Sam Farmer. And he made all the obvious points, right? That this is the challenge that the Chargers had moving to LA. They were not asked to come up here. Nobody really wanted them up here. They decided to come anyway. And then they've got to go up against that. Not only that, not only that it's the television age and we're in this age of short attention spans where it's so much better on some level to just stay at home and watch the game than to go and brave the elements. I'm not saying for everybody. And there's nothing like being in an NFL game. But there's something to be said about not going to that game and staying at home and watching it on TV. But then you come into a market where the Rams came back to L.A., and they had played nearly five decades in the L.A. area versus the Chargers, who were coming here because San Diego would not build them the stadium that they wanted. So that really is an uphill battle, and they start off slowly.